that today is a very poignant day. Bells will be rung 96 times across Merseyside to mark the 25th anniversary of the Hillsborough disaster. The bells of Liverpool's Anglican Cathedral, Liverpool Town Hall and churches as far afield as Southport and Prescott will be rung at 15:06, 6 minutes past three, the time that it all happened in Sheffield. And here's a reminder of that fateful time back in the late 1980s, 1989, a report from ITN.
The news from ITN.
93 people die and hundreds injured in Britain's worst ever sporting disaster. Good evening. 93 soccer fans, mostly teenagers and children, have been crushed to death at today's FA Cup semi-final match between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest, held at Hillsborough in Sheffield. About 200 more were injured. It happened when Liverpool fans without tickets poured into terraces packed with genuine ticket holders at the Liverpool end of the ground. Tonight, the police said they'd opened the gates to prevent crowd problems outside the ground. Hundreds of people tried desperately to escape the overcrowding by scrambling over fences onto the pitch. Many died crushed against the barriers. The Queen has sent a message of sympathy to the bereaved and injured. Mrs. Thatcher says she watched the disaster unfold on television with mounting horror and disbelief.
The first signs of trouble at Hillsborough came 6 minutes after the 3 o'clock kickoff. At the Leppings Lane end of the ground allocated to Liverpool supporters, the shouts of crushed fans alerted police to what seemed initially like an unpleasant but straightforward overcrowding problem. At first, the game continued, the players oblivious of the impending tragedy on the terracing. But as increasing numbers of fans either collapsed at the pitch side or were carried out by police, it became clear that this was no ordinary crowd problem. For every one supporter pulled out, there were hundreds trapped on the other side, some screaming at the police to do more for those who couldn't move to help themselves. By now, the match had become an irrelevance. The pitch, a huge overspill area for the dead and the injured.
I remember it so well. I'm sure you remember it so well. Also, one of the great tragedies of our time, and the death numbers were to rise from that previously reported 93 to 96. Professor Phil Scraton, who spent a lot of time here at Queen's University, a Liverpool man to the core, is on the line. Professor Phil Scraton, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. You were listening to that report, and it's interesting how that report came across back in 1989. If the same journalists were doing that report today, it would sound different, wouldn't it?
Well, it would and it wouldn't. I mean, Frank, that some of the journalists got it right immediately. John Motson seemed to spot it, the overcrowding in the central pens and the tragedy unfolding while the side pens, if the fans had been directed to those pens, you wouldn't have had the same kind of concentration in those pens. But all that we have demonstrated since in the two reports that we wrote and my book, Hillsborough, the Truth, and then eventually authoring the Hillsborough Independent Panel report, has demonstrated quite clearly that not only with the context of Hillsborough, but the circumstances and the aftermath of Hillsborough were all brought into serious question by our findings. And, of course, as you are well aware, we now just started the new inquests into the deaths of the 96. The original inquest verdicts of accidental death, the longest inquest in British legal history, those verdicts have been quashed. And now we are into new inquests, which will probably last a year. One of the things that's absolutely significant about the new inquests is that unusually they're opening with statements from the families, loved ones, of who each individual was, an act of remembrance that is actually quite wonderful to hear. It's actually being taken in evidence in the court, but accompanied by photographs of those who died, their lives, their hopes, their aspirations are laid out before the court, and that's as an inquest should be. And today isn't really, I guess, about in any way attributing blame or responsibility or bitterness or any of those issues. Today is a day of remembrance here in Liverpool when thousands will gather at Anfield and also at Goodison Park by LiveLink Television to remember what happened to those 96, but also the injustices that followed.
The injustices, of course, have been well and truly reported on in more recent times. But the loss, the sadness, the sense of why did it happen and how did it happen, and never seeing your loved ones again, especially when they all had such a common bond and football is such a massive thing on Merseyside, today will be very difficult.
Yes, it always is. I mean, I've been to all of the memorials with my own family, and I sit with the families. Indeed, I've read three of the memorials myself. Yeah, I think that the best way I can sum it up is that the pains of bereavement in such tragic circumstances, especially when there were so many young people involved, also young fathers, young mothers, in such tragic circumstances they died. But those pains of bereavement have been exacerbated by the pains of injustice that followed. And in the North, we understand this. We understand what happens when injustices follow on bereavement in controversial circumstances. If people don't have the opportunity to have the full case explored in inquest, or where there are where evidence that is taken is inappropriate or is not complete, and they know that, they understand that, and I think that is the dynamic that has driven them on. I mean, I think one of the things that has been remarkable for me working with the Hillsborough families, and we have to remember these are not the same families of 25 years ago. There have been many who have died prematurely as a consequence of what has happened. So the numbers of those who've died as a result of Hillsborough, as a consequence of Hillsborough, are far more than 96. But what I find so remarkable is their resilience in the face of adversity. The fact that they have stayed together, they have united in order to push for justice for their families. And one other issue that I'd like to be clear about here as well is people often talk about this word closure. And I think closure is something that we use, those of us who didn't lose anybody, to make us feel better about others. There can be, as people in the North know so well, there can be no closure for the loss of a loved one in tragic circumstances. All there can be is a sense of justice and acknowledgement of their lives and how they died. But the idea that people wake up one day freed of the burden of their loss, I think, is one of the great myths of our time. They might feel better about that they themselves have done all they could to resolve the issues. They might feel better that there has been some acknowledgement, but you can never have closure for the loss of such young lives, lives full of hope, lives full of aspiration. You can't close that.
Football is almost religious-like in its status on Merseyside. The idea at this present minute in time that both clubs are doing so well on the football field, does that actually help during a poignant Remembrance Day like today?
I think the thing is, Frank, that whilst that to some extent is an observation that people will make, I think football goes from us on a day like today. I think the fact that it's held at Anfield is important and significant. The fact that the clubs acknowledge the loss, the fact that over the weekend all football clubs acknowledged the loss with the late 7-minute kickoff and so on, that it actually marked the day, it marked the issue as something of national grieving as opposed to something that was just about Liverpool Football Club or just about Liverpool as a city. I think that's been important. But really, my feeling is that, and working in this field, as I do at Queen's, in terms of death in controversial circumstances, whatever those disasters are, whether they're football-related or not, you know, I can think of the Marchioness, Piper Alpha, disasters where there were clear issues around culpability and investigation and inquests and so on. I think what Hillsborough does is transcend football and soccer. It indicates that ordinary people who have lost their loved ones, who have survived the most appalling experiences of what it must have been like to be crushed on that terrace, that ordinary people can actually come together and unite in order to push a criminal justice, a coronial system, to push it into responding appropriately. And obviously, it has taken research by myself and my teams to add to that. But really, we would never have had the Hillsborough Independent Panel. We would have never had the research at Queen's had it not been for the family's incredible determination to persuade governments to respond. And I say governments in the plural, and it was only actually when Andy Burnham really pushed Gordon Brown that the Labour government came to their senses and said, right, all that's gone before has to be put into perspective. We'll open up all the documents and we will have the Hillsborough Independent Panel. And I'm so proud to have been associated with that for over 2.5 years. And I know that what we did was the right thing. And now, as a direct consequence, we're seeing the biggest ever, the largest ever investigations into any event in the history of English criminal justice, in the Independent Police Complaints Commission investigation, the criminal investigation, and obviously the renewed inquests.
Philip, good speaking to you. I know you're across in Liverpool today. Thanks for taking a call from us. Thank you.
Thank you.